Petaluma Radio Players.
Like talking on air.
And now, the Petaluma Radio Players, located just north of the Golden Gate Bridge in Northern California's Sonoma County, bring you another provocative radio drama from their home on KPCA FM 103.3 and via the World Wide Web on kpca.fm. Our play during this week's presentation, All My Big Men, the story that asks, how long will one father go to earn the appreciation of his wife and sons? And how long does he plan on staying in the bathtub? In this squeaky clean comedy by playwright Stephen Lubliner, the radio audience comes face to suds with the subsurface drama of family dynamics in a story that will surely clean up bathroom humour.
Out with the old. A dead man doesn't need this. Does a dead man need nice golf clubs? I don't think so.
I see my mother through the window. A man learns a few things by the time he hits middle age. As a lawyer, I've learned, never ask a question you don't know the answer to. As a husband, I learn new things every day. And as a son, I've learned that there are still certain things you shouldn't share with your parents. Like your phone number. Well, here we go.
Richard, you came.
Mother, you called.
I suppose. Well, come in, come in.
What are you doing? What's all this stuff?
It's your father's. A dead man doesn't need all this stuff. Makes me sad to look at it.
Ma, Dad's not dead.
So you say. What kind of life?
Still in the bathroom?
All day in the bubbles. Here's your coat hanger. Pop the lock. Pop it!
You couldn't have done this yourself?
No, I need my son. Come. First, let me show you what I've done to the kitchen.
Whoa! What happened to Dad's den?
Oh, he wasn't really using it.
Stop. Stop. I should see what's up with him.
Suit yourself.
Dad, it's me.
Said I'm not ready. You've come looking for trouble? If you have, you found it.
Yes. Yes, I have. My father, you see, had a lifelong yearning for suffering that had gone unfulfilled. Towards the end of his career, he would say to anyone who would listen, trouble is coming, and if it doesn't find me, I'll go looking for it. He yearned for the millennium and the promised apocalypse. More disappointment. So he told my mother that he wanted to sell the house or burn it to the ground, buy an RV and hit the road, or smash the globe with a baseball bat and fly to the place on the first piece he picked up. She said he was nuts. He would do what he wanted, but she had a family to look after and a house to redo. So when he finally retired, he did it himself. He bought that RV and he hit the road alone. But my father's guardian angel had a sick sense of humor. If my father spit in the wind, it calmed to a gentle breeze. Floodwaters receded as he drove towards them. Storms broke apart. He'd walk through tough neighborhoods, shedding $20 bills like dandruff. And project kids would gather up his money, return it, and guide the confused old man to the cop around the corner. He cut the trip short. Well, here we go.
And who taught you to do that?
You did.
Don't forget that.
Wow, nice bubbles.
Thank you.
Really good coverage.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Did you want something?
Sounds like you've been here a while.
I lost track of time.
That's a lot of time to lose track of.
You can't begin to imagine.
Yeah, here's a towel. Come on out.
I'm still not ready.
Can I pull the plug?
Eventually.
I just have to change these. Flowery towels, flowery towels, flowery towels. Are you coming out? No? Fine.
Like what I've done with the place?
Mom called me away from the office, so I'd like to move things along here.
Your mother called you for amusement. You came out of guilt. Why am I the problem?
Fine. I'll stay for a bit.
I think you can find a seat. You know, these days, if I want to take a piss, I have to do it sitting down.
Why? You have problems with your legs, with balance?
The seats. She's glued them all down. They don't swing up. And the strange thing is, I don't mind. At some basic level, it feels right.
So, what else is new?
New, he wants new. Well, I bought two new cutting boards.
Why two? Or is that the setup for a joke?
One for sweets, one for savories. So many Sundays in the kitchen. You didn't pay attention? Who taught you to handle tools? Mince of scallion, juice of lemon, mixed strong with your shoulder, not your wrist. And now look at you. You're in the world. You function.
You taught me, Dad. I remember. I was just making small talk.
Ah, no talk is small. When the Germans came...
Stop it.
Stop what?
Just stop it. Your family came to America before the Germans came. That's a good thing, okay?
It's too late for me. It's probably too late for you. But each night I pray for your sons that the same horror doesn't befall them.
There's no horror. I'm fine. You're fine. We're all fine.
Too fine. Pity the proud man who endures a prolonged peace. To survive, he must squander his advantages. I hate this golden age.
You read the papers lately?
No.
Maybe you should.
You want small talk now. Okay. How's work?
Good enough.
Good enough. I'm sorry to hear. More small talk. What's new at home?
Well, I'm thinking of getting a vasectomy.
Ridiculous. What you should get is a colonoscopy.
I hadn't heard those are interchangeable.
Who said they were?
So I'm at special risk? When were you going to tell me?
Risk, schmisk. I get one every year. The insurance won't cover, so I pay for it myself. Everyone says, oh, the prep, it's awful. The fasting and then such unpleasantness. But see, that's the best part. One thing you focus on all day. You don't work, you don't travel, you're alone. It's like Shabbat, except restful. All you do is drink that solution, and you wait. And then all of a sudden, it all comes pouring out of you. All the gunk, all the buildup from the previous year. Whoosh, whoosh, and you're free. Better than Yom Kippur, I tell you. Better than Kaddish. It's the closest I ever came to having a good cry. So where were we? You're getting a vasectomy. Have you told your wife? Or did she tell you?
We came to an agreement.
Like I agreed to piss sitting down.
I don't know anything about that.
Then what do you know?
Usual stuff. Work, kids, the house.
And what brave and dangerous deeds are you contemplating?
Getting a vasectomy.
Getting a vasectomy.
Knives? Down there? No. But here's the good part. To get the all clear, in 3 months, I get to pollute myself in a medical building.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Ah. You should speak to your brother.
If I want an open-minded discussion of my options, I'm not going to the rabbi.
Right on cue.
Who's that?
You think she just called you? It's open.
Papa, my God. Oh, Richard, thank God you're here. It's good to see you. How is he?
Fine. He's fine. You saved me a trip. I was going to come see you after I left here.
Me again. I just need to plug these in.
What are those?
Air fresheners. They freshen the air. One is mango. One is strawberry. They go off to make things nice.
We need two?
You don't like nice? Look at us. We're all together. All my big men. Here, smell. See? Nice.
God, that's awful. God, that's awful.
What were you saying?
He's getting a vasectomy.
So what do you expect me to say?
Jen and I...
Again, I reject your premise.
What premise?
What premise? Jennifer.
David, I don't want your opinion as a rabbi. I want it as a man and as my brother.
Do people pay your law firm for brotherly talk? No. You go to the doctor and say, Doctor, man to man, what do you think of this growth?
Sure, why not?
Forget it. Doesn't matter. I don't even know why I'm talking like this. You want disapproval? Go, talk to my replacement.
They fired you? You have a contract.
No, Richard, no, it's not like that. Well, it's a little like that. They're not renewing me, but no. No, Richard, I'm leaving the rabbinate.
What? Why?
I had a message from God.
Ah, you're full of it. You never talk about God unless you're being paid or telling a joke.
But it's true.
You had a calling not to be a rabbi?
Here's what happened. You know, mine was a conservative temple, but personally, I've always been much closer to Orthodox. I do what the book says God wants. What am I saying? Wants commands. I do the commands. I do the mitzvot. But one night recently, Richard, as I was lying in my bed with the television on, my wife asleep beside me, and our five kids down the hall, God came to me. And the room disappeared, and his presence filled my head with fire and light, and he said to me, in Hebrew, of course, for you I translate, God said, David, Rabbi David, I kind of think we need to take a break. And I said, but Hashem, I don't want to take a break. And God said, I know, sweetie, I know. It's not you, it's me. You give, and you give, and you give so much. I know I should be happy, but frankly, I'm feeling a little suffocated, a little trapped. And it's not just you. It's all of you. It's everybody. But because you're special to me, David, you deserve to know how I feel. And I wept, and I said, no, God, no. And God said, wasn't necessarily a forever thing. God just needed a little space, a little time.
Doesn't God have a lot of that, space and time?
And here's the important part. God said, you know, David, we've been together so long that I think you've lost yourself a little. Maybe if you spent time figuring out how to be a better you, there's a chance that we could be a better us. And then he kissed my cheek with flame, told me that he loved me, left his key on the dresser, let himself out. And everything was as it was. Colbert was on TV. I still had a wife and kids and a house and a mortgage. And I knew what I had to do.
What?
Quit. Beyond that, I'm not sure. I don't know where this journey will take me. But one thing I promise you, Richard, it's going to involve lots of shiksa. You know what?
You know what? You know what? That's disgusting.
Hey, you're the expert. I'll have to learn the hard way. Ask Jennifer. All the great Goyim theologians, Augustine and, I don't know, others, they were all pigs, randy as rabbits. The patriarchs, too. What does Abraham and Hagar teach? But man should stoop the cleaning woman. Maybe it's the sacred feminine talking, but God likes a bad boy. And where
you
God...
You sound like a complete idiot.
Oh, I'm the idiot. You're having surgery to be with your own wife? What a playboy.
Do you want to count them, David? Do you want to?
Depends. Do we count your drunk ones?
Listen to both of you. Listen to you. If only I had a message from God.
Who pushed those?
Not me.
I can't breathe.
Richard, unplug them.
No, we can't.
Ah, they've stopped. Thank God.
We were fighting about something. What was it?
I don't know. No? Yes, I do. We... Richard, you gotta unplug those.
I said no.
Sorry, Dad. They won't come out.
She's a remarkable woman, your mother. I should have told her that more often.
Tell her now. Make her stop.
She won't stop.
Then let's go. Get out of the tub.
In front of you? Certainly not.
Then what do we do?
Do? You might reconsider coming by Sunday.
What?
It hurt your mother when you both said no.
What? Fine. Yes. We'll come.
With everybody?
Yes. Stop it, Ma. We'll be here Sunday.
We'll be here Sunday, Ma.
Oh, it smells nice in here. See you Sunday, boys. I bought a pot roast.
Well, I know you both have things to do. From now on, don't be such strangers.
I guess you're coming out now.
Why would I do that?
Bye, Dad.
See you Sunday, Papa.
Bubbles. More bubbles.
This has been the Petaluma Radio Players production of All My Big Men by Stephen Lubliner, starring Tom Wilson as Father, Ralph Scott as Richard, Stephen Lubliner as Rabbi David, and Jackie Van Winkle as Mother. Recording engineer Mark Hindman, post-production John Beal, produced by Ralph Scott. Copyright 2017, The Petaluma Radio Players. We're on the web at PetalumaRadioPlayers.com. I'm your announcer, Cheryl Halling.
Petaluma Radio Players.
Like talking on
This is Ian Morris here with the Petaluma Radio Players, with supervising producer Ralph Scott and associate producer Kendra Murray. Hello, welcome.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
So, All My Big Men. It's a contemporary comedy with a classic old-style radio with effects. What was the motivation for deciding to include this play on your production slate?
I think, Ian, that there are characters within All My Big Men that not only can we all identify with, but at some point in our lives, we probably have been. There are moments when we have been the mother or wife who is feeling like her spouse just isn't connecting with her needs. I think there are times when we have been the lawyer-like son who is looking at this very pragmatically and is wondering why Dad just won't get out of the bathroom and trying to find a uniquely male solution of getting from A to Z with a set of steps that should be quite transparent and obvious. And I think at times we are like the rabbi, his other son, who is approaching this in a more philosophical sense and suddenly goes into his own life and gets completely off tangent. And admittedly, I think we're also at times very much like Dad, who says, oh, the hell with everything. My needs aren't being met, so I'm just going to lock myself in the tub.
I want to be alone.
Now, Stephen Lubliner, the playwright, is a member of Petaluma Radio Players.
He is.
How did what was the inspiration for him, do you think? And how what was the process of him bringing this to the troupe and getting it done?
Well, toward your first question, I think that's probably best answered by the playwright himself. Towards the second, while we always encourage playwrights from outside the troupe to send us their work for consideration, and we've had that happen many times now, including a play we did recently that hails from Virginia and another play that we recently aired that hails from New York by an award-winning playwright. In the case of Stephen, he was one of the first in our troupe to actually get us on the air with material that he wrote, The Noir Before Christmas, which, of course, was a gangster takeoff on the traditional Christmas tale. But Stephen has a unique voice. There's no question in our minds that he has the ability to make, one, very believable characters, but that in and of itself would not be unique in the annals of radio theater or theater of any kind if it weren't for the fact that Stephen's unique voice is extraordinarily sardonic, extraordinarily biting at times, and yet very below radar. You have to kind of, if you blink, you'll miss it. And I think that's because it's very easy for the audience to get caught up in the characters. They're so entranced by the dialogue that happens among these very believable characters that they sometimes miss the subtlety. And you have to go back a second or third time and discover that, oh, so that's what he meant.
So, Kendra, talk to me about the process. So Stephen's written a script. He's brought it to the troupe. What's the process between getting it there in front of everybody and then bringing it on air?
That's a great question. And usually we would meet as a troupe.
And where do you meet?
We meet at Work Petaluma, which is on 4th Street, number 10 4th Street in Petaluma. And we meet every Thursday, and if we have a new script to review, we decide amongst us who's going to read this part, who's going to read that part. And it's not a casting decision. It's a play evaluating decision. And we read this, and we talk about it together in terms of, is this a play that speaks to us? Are we enjoying where this playwright is going with this
idea? As an aside, isn't that what Petaluma Radio Players, is that how they were formed? The group of people just wanted to get together and enjoy each other reading plays?
Well, I think there was a lot of enjoyment and less reading of the plays in the beginning, according to my associate, Ralph.
I think what Kendra is hinting at is that when Petaluma Radio Players first started out, even before it had a name, back in 2015, it was summer of 2015, there was a tendency for anybody poking their head into the library room at Work Petaluma to assume that this was a drinking club. And I can understand why they might draw that conclusion. It very quickly, though, it morphed into a very serious troupe of players, thespians, who were looking for really quality material and then wanting to take it from the page and bring it to the airwaves.
Yeah. So fairly quickly it became a sort of, in a sense, a group of friends getting together for a drink or two and reading scripts and performing them amongst themselves to something a little larger. You've gone, and I want to get back to Kendra about the process, but while we're still on this part of the topic, it's gone a lot bigger, hasn't it? You've gone you've done live shows, you're getting you're getting opportunities with bigger radio stations.
Yes, and in fact, in September, the first week of September, we've been invited to present at TEDx Marin. We're thrilled about that. So the Petaluma Radio Players will be manning a booth that will be seen by upwards of 800 financiers, investors, other entrepreneurs, other nonprofits. We have already begun recording a series of station promos for an NPR affiliate in Rohnert Park, KRCB-FM, which we're thrilled that they invited us to do that. But we wrote and produced these promos using live sound effects, by the way, with a Foley artist who we brought to their station, and keeping our people in character. We are looking at the syndication market now, which some people might think is premature. But we've already begun dialogue with syndicators on the hopes that we can take the podcast extension of Petaluma Radio Players and put it out there among 50 to 200 markets. So I think that's in keeping with the spirit of Petaluma Radio Players, which is hearkening back to those days of drinking parties. Well, let's try that alcohol. Well, in this case, let's try this experiment.
So it's very exciting. Kendra, you were just explaining a bit more about the process. So let me get this straight. A script has sort of surfaced. People are reading it. They're enjoying it. How does it then go from there to casting and then to performance?
So once we've looked at this as a troupe and we talk about, we like this idea. We'd really like to see this produced. We then begin the process of planning auditions, which are also held at where we meet, Work Petaluma, and that's open to the community. It's not just
the troupe. And how would someone know about that?
So you'd
go
on our Facebook or the web. We are now on Instagram. We have a Twitter account as well. PetalumaRadioPlayers.com is our website. And so those audition notices would be posted. And as I said, they're not just for the troupe. It's open to the public. And we've had some great talent come in of recent to audition for some new things in the pipeline. And so the audition takes place. And we have a fabulous director in residence, Joe Peer, who has been leading us in the more recent plays that we've done. In conjunction with Ralph, and they go through the audition process. Together they decide who they like best, and then those people are notified. Then we come in and we do rehearsals there at Work Petaluma for several reads before we actually will then go to studio to record. And all of our recordings for these plays now are being done at KPCA. They have a tiny studio, so when we have a great group of actors, it's a fun dynamic to try to figure out how many we can put into that tiny space. But it's been fabulous. The production time, once we get all those recorded, it generally takes 1 to 2 days to record all that we need for a particular show, depending on how long the script is. And then that will get sent off via the World Wide Web to our post-production supervisor.
So tell me, so we've got one part of the equation, which are the voices, the acting, the performances. What about the other side, which is the arguably
the fun stuff,
the foley, the sound effects, and the music, and everything that sort of brings the whole thing together so that the listener really is there listening and enjoying the drama?
Well, it harkens back to our live shows that we now do at Hotel Petaluma twice a year. We discovered when looking out over the audiences, standing room only audiences, by the way, back in 2016, that the audiences are really focused a lot of not just the drama on the stage, but the drama off stage, the turning a basket of a wire cage meant for a bingo night filled with golf balls into what sounds like a Pullman train pulling out of the station circa 1933. That's where the fun is. That's where a lot of the art takes place. And that's also where you really you need to nail it, because eventually, since we're recording those live productions, it needs to telegraph over the web that these are, you know, that is a Pullman train. That is a gun going off. That is a seagull. We've now started to introduce that into our recorded productions. That never have an audience until they hit broadcast. So we're trying to be true to that. For a number of months, we were using mostly digital sound effects created by our post-production supervisor, John Beal, in Austin, Texas. But it's become quite obvious to us that they're really, if we're going to be true to the art form, we need to preserve what would have been the look, feel, and results of a 1930s, 1940s live radio show. So therefore, it's not uncommon now to see our Foley guy blowing air into a little bottle, the kind of bottles we probably would have been going through in our early days for other reasons, and making it sound like a cruise liner. Crossing.
Now, you mentioned the Hotel Petaluma. I know that there's a show coming up in December, or some four shows. Do you want us just to quickly talk about those?
Very exciting. I'd love to talk about those. Hotel Petaluma has a fabulous ballroom that we use as our stage for our live radio shows. And typically we will have our announcer, which in the past, as you know, Mr. Morris,
yes,
is yourself, be up in this balcony setting with an on-air sign and a beautiful microphone ready to introduce us to this glimpse back in time in history. So coming up in December, we have a very, very exciting production of three Sherlock Holmes radio plays.
They're spoofs, though, aren't they?
They are spoofs, yes. And they will feature a variety of actors from the company, and they will feature a ton of Foley effects, which will be probably something that's going to take a lot of finesse, a lot of rehearsing, and we're really looking forward to it. Tickets are going to be starting on sale October 15th at brownpapertickets.com, excuse me. And we will have four performances, December 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and a matinee on December 24th.
Great. Well, I wanted to thank you for your time, both of you. And I think we're probably going to finish it there. So thank you all, and thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Petaluma Radio Players on KPCA FM 103.3. And we hope you've enjoyed today's show. Cheers. Petaluma Radio Players.
Like talking on